Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. What a wonderful weekend it was at the feast. This week on the conversation, folks, cancellation calls come every 10 minutes and even death threats at an Arizona Republic newspaper when they endorse Clinton, along with several others. The Dallas Morning News and the Cincinnati Inquirer are losing people left and right after they endorse Clinton. I'll get into my views on that. Also, Great Britain starts the final processes to leave the EU, something we should be doing with like the United Nations and all this. I mean, hey, I think they're waking up to what we did in the revolution and said, hey, screw you guys. I'm going home to my own country, and we're going to have our own rules, and we're not going to be ruled by kings and queens. And also, there's rumors that Hillary Clinton is doing basically the same thing Trump is, using all these loopholes that the government has so that she doesn't have to pay taxes. Well, basically, if you're given all this money, and you take that money, and you put it in your... And you take the money as yours and you put it into your foundation that you create and get and do a tax write-off and it's free. Guess what? Then you got the money tax-free to spend and do whatever you want with. I wish I could figure out. Rudy Giuliani said this. If Trump didn't pay taxes, he's a genius. Also, Governor Jerry Brown, a Democrat of California, signed the Planned Parenthood bill that was designed to target people that are going after them for their controversial practices. A New Jersey school student also is suspended and they're demanding he goes under psychiatric evaluation for an anti-gun control project that was approved by teachers. I'll get into that. And also, Megyn Kelly has put out and challenged Hillary Clinton to come on Fox News. Will she do it? We'll find out. Also, news around the English Premier League and... Did Tony Stewart make it his final year into the chase, or did he end up being bowed out? I will get into that much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. John 14:23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." Think about that as your day to day, as you're going through the final stages of your day, and hope you had a wonderful weekend. I was talking to Leslie Martin Conwell. She basically puts on the feast or helps put it on. I'm like, we need to take the feast and take it to a drought stricken area so at least they get rain. Friday, we were supposed to have massive amounts of rain, and we didn't. Only Saturday night, we did for like an hour and a half, enough to make it the feast, because the feast is either like dry as a bone and you're wishing there was just enough rain to stop the dust, or it's a muck puddle everywhere. And for some of you, those of you that may not know, the feast that don't live in Indiana, the Feast of the Hunter's Moon is where we reenact and we celebrate the people that lived at Fort Wiatnon in my ancestral home, you know, from the French to the Native Americans, to the Kickapoo, to the Rogers Rangers. And there's a group called the Whole Nine Yards Dance, Scottish Dance Group. And they do like, if you ever heard of square dancing, it's kind of like that, but it's the Scottish version. And it was and you would get a partner and you would go and you'd do this dancing. And a lot of times it was a way to meet a soulmate or a partner, but it was a way for you to gossip. That's how back in the day when I grew up, you didn't have social media. You went to the football games and basketball games at the high school to find out what happened and who did what. and what's going on. And it's one of those things, man. It's my wife's third one, because this is the second anniversary that I asked my wife to marry me, and I did it at the feast in the RV my dad had, and pulled out this video, and I said, I want you to watch this, and I was going to try to film it, but I didn't, because I thought she might think something's up, so I didn't film it. But she would have. I didn't film the thing, and I sat there, and I'm like, watch this video, and it was for me. And I said, you know, this one thing I said in the video, and I said, you know, it's about what's in the heart, because, okay, when sex is gone, if you don't have anything there, yeah, that porn star may look beautiful now, but if that's all you got is sex, then you're going to have a long road to hoe, because that's 1% of a relationship. And, you know, and to me, you're beyond that. You're everything. You got the political beliefs I like, the religious beliefs, you know, and just all these things. And, you know, and I pulled out this ring and said, will you marry me? And of course she said, no, just kidding. She said, yes, and hugged me and all this. And then we tried to recreate it. And we're like, will you marry me? Yes, I will. We're like, well, it's hilarious, because we tried to recreate it and there was no emotion there, because we spent it all. But it was just, it's an amazing time. And I've been going to the feast since like 77, like since I was like 2 years old or whatever, one or two. But it's a great, great time. And I play out there, the Irish Baron, and I played in the 500 and Chorus and stuff. Whenever they had the mass bands, I'm always out there playing. And I guess I try to sow the seed, because when I was there, I remember when I was 5 years old, Native American gave me an axe. And he handed it to me, and Dad helped me hold it, because it's huge, and I was like five. And just, you know, plus for safety reasons. And I never forgot that. Now when we do the jams sessions, sometimes we'll play a song like three or four times, whatever. You know, like when we're with the mass bands, after we do the mass bands on the field, we'll come out and we'll just start jamming. And I'll always find little kids and give them one of my bass drum beaters, and like, bing, 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 bing. It's just so... I just hope I sow a seed so that they, you know. The only thing I didn't realize, though, was I got me a pair of, like, 18th century glasses so that my glasses look like the rest of my body. And then when I looked into lens crafters, I think, to get lenses, I guess, well, they've always told me that since my eyes haven't changed much, I can go about 5 years in between my eye exams. And if I really notice change, to come back sooner. Oh, well, the scripts only last for a year. I don't know. They never tell you that. And I'm like, they've always told me since in like 3 years, I've had like 3 or 4 or 5 years, I've had very minute change. They said that it, you know, if you want to do this, you know, you can get by longer periods. So it would cost like $198 to get the lenses put in those glasses. And that's without the eye exam and all this. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to do it sometime, but I just want to see, since I've already got the frames and I basically went to lens crafters just because I like this selection of frames, I want to see if I can just find someone that can put the lenses in there for cheaper. So we'll see, but enough of that, folks. Yeah, I got kind of sick today because they had Hillary Clinton on giving a speech, and I'm just sick of someone that knows the loophole. Why isn't she in prison? She allowed 4 Americans to die. She deleted 33,000 emails. I'm tired of these. I wish I had $100 million like she did. And she does. I would love to have a charity, a foundation, that I could have people give me money. Then I could take that money, I could put it in that charity, and use it as a tax write-off. So they don't have to pay taxes. And then all that money is mine to do whatever I want with it and have it tax-free. I wish I could have a $40,000 tuxedo and go around giving speeches at $300,000 saying I understand how the poor blacks and the poor Americans live, and talk about those rich, greedy, evil Republicans. I hate people like Michael Moore that go off about rich Republicans when he lives in an $11 million home. That just makes me want to vomit. you know, I do this show out of the goodness of my heart. I live paycheck to paycheck. Me and my wife have what we have. We want to do what we want to do with what we have, you know? Sorry, but Hillary Clinton doesn't know where, how I live, how I come from. She don't know that. She can't. Oh, I know how you live. Oh, that greedy Trump, he didn't pay taxes. What did Rudy Giuliani say? If Trump got away without paying taxes, if he would use loopholes, he's a genius. Why do you think we came to this country? So we could get out of paying taxes. Guess what happened from before 1913? Guess what? We had a military. We had schools. We had buses. We had roads. Guess what? Well, I can't believe this, but we didn't pay taxes. You kept 100% of what you earned, folks. I could see paying the taxes I'm paying right now if all the bridges were in great condition, all the roads were immaculate, everything was great. But when you have the government spending money like a Project Blue Book where, okay, there's $40 million going into this building, it's brand new and it's abandoned. Nothing needs to be done to it. Well, yeah, they invested $40 million in, for what? Well, you know, as long as they explained it away, you know. Okay, so there's $40 million. Now, I wonder who got that money, because the money, we know, didn't go into that building. You know, $20 million didn't go to put windows in the building that's brand new. That wasn't, you know, but hey, as long as they got, I mean, they were like podunk airports that got money. I got like $25 million to renovate my airport. Okay, great. You know, but when you see all these, when you see billions of dollars in these stimulus bills that they can't account for, who knows where the money went to? I know where it went. It went to people. You know, if you buy something on eBay and you send somebody money, you expect something back. You know, if you do something for Barack Obama or he does something for you, he's going to, hey, look at what I did for you, man. I need a kickback. You know? That's why I think a lot of the kickbacks came from. Hey, people scratched his back and got him the presidency. So, hey, here you go. Here's $20 million. Thanks. I don't understand this, but the Arizona Republic, the Dallas Morning News, and the Cincinnati Inquirer have endorsed Hillary Clinton. That when that happened, the Arizona Republic received a death threat, and they were getting cancellation calls every 10 minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that, folks. Because how can you trust any newspaper that endorses any candidate? Doesn't matter if it's Johnson or if it's Trump or if it's Clinton, because let's say they endorse Trump. How can they be unbiased? How do you expect anyone to be unbiased if they're supporting Gary Johnson? The only thing they may do is they may give him more coverage, which he doesn't get a lot of. That's it. But how can you expect, besides something like that, how can you expect a newspaper to be unbiased if they're endorsing a candidate? Or if ABC is endorsing a candidate, how can they be unbiased? That's the whole point of us being journalists. We're supposed to be unbiased. Yes, I support Trump. But if Hillary Clinton does something great or something, I'm gonna report it. Because that's what people do that don't have an agenda. You know, if Hillary Clinton saved the life of someone or did something great, which if she did, I would report on it. I'd say, hey, look at what she did. She can't be, she may be bad, but she's not all bad. Because look at what she did. She saved a life. That's, you know, hypothetical because she allowed four Americans to die in Benghazi. But, you know, if she ever does something that's great, I would report on it, no matter who it is. I would support a Democrat if they stood what I stand for. If they support the NRA and they support Second Amendment rights. They support smaller government and lower taxes. A lot of these issues going on in this country, folks, are not Republican or Democrat. This is what's going on. Bang. Take it or leave it. You know, the deficit is not a Democrat issue or Republican issue. The deficit's the deficit. And there's a report out today. I'm going to double check my sources to make sure I've got this one correct. I'm pretty sure I know who sent this out, but I just want to double check this for you real quick, folks, because I want to make sure I get stuff right. And if I don't, I try to correct it. Okay, let me see here. Yeah, the New York Times is actually coming out that you're going to have massive changes to Obamacare to have it survive. Wow. Longtime listeners of my conversation will know, what did I say a long time ago? Obamacare was designed to do what? Fail. Why? Because the United States of America, about 95% of the people in this country would not support a single-payer healthcare system. How do you get a single-payer healthcare system into this country? The same way you get a central bank into this country. You call it the Federal Reserve. Oh, it's the people's money. They get to decide what happens to it. It's going to be wonderful, just like the net neutrality. Well, these communication acts, where the government controls the airways, they tried to pass them for years, and they failed. Well, how do we write it so that we can get this same law passed? Only difference is they think it's great. They think it's wonderful. How do we do that? Well, let's start out. Let's do this wonderful government health care, and then we'll make sure it fails. That way we can, let's put it into a single-payer health care system. And guess what? That single-payer health care system is going to look great. Sort of like taking a 50 cal. Well, let's shoot this guy with, no, don't shoot me with a 50 cal. Okay, we'll just use a 45 instead. Oh, that sounds great. I wouldn't want to be shot with a 50 cal or a 45 or a 9mm. Not even a 22. But you notice how the 50 cal sounds very bad, but then as you get down, you know, hey, that 9mm doesn't sound too bad. Well, you're probably going to die from the bullet wound no matter which one you use. You know, Obamacare was going to fail in the beginning, so that they could bring in a single-payer healthcare system. That's what it was designed to do, and that's what's going on. Because now they're saying, well, we have to drastically change it to keep it alive. What do you mean you have to drastically change it? It was supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I remember when they were talking about people right after that website came up, and we had a family from Boston that was so happy with the price they got and the coverage they got that they went and they got donuts and coffee and brought it to all the workers. So you're going to bring coffee and donuts to people that work for the government, probably making $35 an hour minimum, probably unionized. And you're paying for everything they have anyways. Your taxes are paying for it. I'd be like, okay, well, nothing's free. That's one thing I love my daddy. He goes, nothing's free. Buy one, get one free. Yeah, you gotta buy one. Nothing's free. Because you gotta pay for, you gotta have a way to get there. Yeah, it may be free. You may get a free can of Coke. Well, okay, let's say it's a 75-cent bus ride. Then you gotta walk it's not free, folks. Nothing's free. My sister, like I said before, I said this once before, she went to a bank and goes, well, thank God Obamacare passed all this free health care. And she goes, what do you mean free? Someone's got to pay for it. Who do you think's paying for all these services? Oh, I never thought of it like that. My Lord. I wanted to get into this one because this is an amazing story. I don't get this, but this is out of New Jersey. There is a student who the school is demanding he undergo psychiatric evaluation for an anti-gun control project because he's pro-Second Amendment. Thank you. I love this kid. Frank Harvey, according to student Frank Harvey, the project was assigned to him by his teacher, and the topic was approved last year. And now, I guess his flash drive with a PowerPoint presentation was left on a computer and someone found it and they got their panties in a wad and went to the administration, all this. Now they're up in arms and they're saying that he should get psychiatric evaluation and all this. And how can he be against gun control and all this? And his parents are standing up 100% like, no way in heck is our son having an evaluation. I'd say, okay, yes, we found a NRA member who is also a psychiatric person, and he's going to help our son through this. Yes, he's pro-gun. Yes, he's going to. There's a barbershop in Kalamazoo/Portage that has a sign on it that says, this place is armed. Nothing in here is worth your life. Why are people afraid of guns? There's like 2 million, there's like 200 million guns in the U.S. and probably over a trillion rounds of ammunition. If we were the problem, Hillary Clinton, you would know it by now.
How stupid people are. It's the people that shoot the guns that are the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's these. Yeah, but then they'll have a bombing and they'll blame it on a. Well, we need to have gun control because a terrorist made a bomb and blew up a building. Imagine if Obama was president during 9/11. Yeah, we need to ban guns because planes hit the Twin Towers. It's ridiculous. And their family is like not backing down on this. No, we're not doing nothing. He's refused to go under an evaluation. Instead, I guess he's going to complete his high school through a GED test and everything. His parents are taking him out and everything. I support that 100%. Take your kids out of these dang schools. But I mean, do it now, because pretty soon I think they're going to put massive regulations on homeschooling because they can indoctrinate your kid. It's ridiculous. But Great Britain, I want to get into this kind of quick. Great Britain is actually in the final processes to leave the EU. Gee, I love it. You know, gee, let me see here. They elected the head of the Conservative Party. They're wanting to leave the EU. Scotland at one point tried to become its own nation and secede from the UK. Doesn't that sound familiar to what we did before 1776? Yep, there's someone in my ear saying yes. That's what it is. That's what they're doing. That's what we need to do. And I do need to make a point. When I did a live pre-show video, I kind of talked about us leaving the EU. But, I mean, basically, what does Obama want to do? Oh, you don't need the Second Amendment. You got the United Nations. They'll take care of you. They'll feed you. Don't worry. Don't work. Don't do anything. I think everyone should just stop working, period, altogether, and just, oh, we're going to all rely on the government. Imagine how stuff would just come to a halt if everyone just relied on the government. But, I mean, we're trying to go the direction that England was. Oh, we need to have gun control. We need to do this. And England's realizing that, hey, we can't survive, you know, in this, you know, socialist state. That's why they're going in the direction that we were going. Not anymore. It's just amazing, you know, to finally see them basically say, bleep you. So it's just, I just love to see, because the media is not touching it, because they can't explain it away. Wait a minute here. Here's a country that's going the exact opposite direction of the way they're trying to shove our country down our throat. But, oh, what the fuck is this? What difference does it make, folks? You know, what difference does it make, as Hillary Clinton said. I loved it because on Saturday Night Live, I watched the replays where they did a spoof of the debate. And then they did like the Team Clinton and Team Hillary, and they did like a Family Feud. Oh, it was so funny. I have to say, I'm not a big fan of him, but Alex Baldwin did a great Trump. And he probably had fun doing it because he's very, 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 very progressive and he's very MSNBC and would do whatever it can to get his view across. And but I can't believe that Hillary Clinton is leading supposedly in the polls when event after event, Trump's packed. There are people, I mean, they're turning people away. And but you go to a Trump rally and they're turning people away and this and that. And Hillary Clinton is like, okay, yeah, we're going to move to another venue. Yeah, you don't have but like 20 people. Hypothetically, she has nobody. But I think a lot of people, but then but I don't know how she's leading in the polls. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you how right here. I'll tell you how she's leading in the polls very simply. She is leading in the polls because of a man named Andrew Spelies. His last name is S-P-I-E-L-E-S. Can't spell names. He is a registered Democrat who registered 19 dead people to vote for Hillary Clinton. That's how she's leading in the polls. That's how. But why do you need to do that? They have computer programs that when you put this disk in to start up the boot up the computer, it's pre-programmed. So no matter what you do, no matter who you vote for, you could sit there and put that program in there and then say, wait a minute here. Bert has just won the election, folks. The Sesame Street character Bert has just won the presidential election. We are now going to be run by a Sesame Street PBS puppet. I mean, it's kind of a serious, but it could happen. I mean, they put this program thing in and they showed people, okay, you vote 7 for this and 1 for this. And they put 8 votes in and it came out like 6-2 for the other person. And they're like, and these people, this lady's like in tears. It just, because that's how, and you would never see it. You'd never know it. But all you're doing is doing what you're told. You put in the boot disk, you get the computers up and going. Okay, welcome to the voting. Okay, your name. But then we live in a country that is one of the few that doesn't have actual IDs for voting. You don't have to have IDs to vote. And they're like, well, you're racist because you want to demand an ID. Because I want to have, because how hard is it to get an ID? Every other country has it. Why don't we? Why don't we? A lot of other people have a voting law that you have to have. We have a smaller voter turnout than nations where you have to have, you don't have to have an ID. You try to vote, you can get shot. And they risk death so that they can vote. But we have fewer, but our voter turnout is smaller. And every 4 years, you have the right to change this country. And I've had a lot of people believe that if Hillary Clinton was to become president, there'd be some civil war would come to this country. And I seriously think something could drastically happen. You know, because when she's not doing, when Trump is taking, and okay, sorry, at this hangar, we got a 8,000, sorry, we got a fire marshal won't allow it. You got to leave 8,000 people, minimum 8,000, possibly 12. You know, and that's more than she's having at her rallies in 2 months. And she's, I will say there's a lot of people when I get out there and I hear people talk or I talk to people, there's like, well, okay, we had 319 million people in this country and we're stuck with Clinton or Trump, really? They both suck. And I think that's the majority of people. They don't want either of them. But I think the besides those people, the majority, I think, support Trump. I mean, you just look at the videos. There are way more people at Trump rallies than Hillary. Wait, you know, like 20 to 1 or 30 to 1. So if she was to win, well, I mean, she needed help just to beat in two Democrats, and one guy didn't even have a shot. So it's basically she needed help to defeat Bernie Sanders, a senile socialist. I don't get it. I don't understand how she could even be leading. But then when you see all these people that I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, but I don't know anything about her. And then when you take these people that are voting for Hillary Clinton and you ask them all these things, oh, I'm against all that. Well, Hillary said every single one of those. You know, I'm against building a wall. Well, Hillary Clinton was for building a fence. She didn't call it a wall. Hillary said that? Yes, she did. Oh. And then they don't know what to say because they're against all these things that when you flip the card over, that was something that Hillary said, or I support that. Well, that's something Trump said. You realize that you're voting for someone, but everything you supported is something that Trump said, and everything you hated is something Hillary said. That's why I always say, I don't care who you vote for, know what they stand for. So that when you hear this stuff, you know. Okay, yeah, I support that. Okay, well, that Trump said that. Or Hillary said that. You know, this Trump, the trickle-down Trump economics, and he's just going to line his pocketbook for Hillary Clinton's not lining hers. Really? I mean, I could be wrong, but doesn't she have I thought she was broke. I wish I could have private Lear jets and million-dollar homes. And, oh, I understand you poor people. I really do. I understand we need to go after that billionaire Trump so I can have some of his money. Because I only have $100 million net worth. Make me want to vomit. I literally almost lost that potato soup I was eating at lunch. I mean, Trump, I can listen to him. He sounds like Reagan. He sounds like someone like, we're doing this for the country. Chant USA, not Trump. You know, we need to help the vets. We need to help the military. We need to do this for our country. He sounds like Reagan. And I listen to Hillary and it's like, oh my, you know. Trump in his last, when I hear Trump's speeches, he's not really going off on Hillary. He's talking about what this country needs. Not what, you know, when you watch these Hillary's, well, Trump didn't pay taxes in this, and he's screwing his workers and the American people, and Trump is like, you know, hey, look at our roads are falling apart. This is going wrong. This is what's going on. This is what we need to fix. Yep, guess what? I have a company. I need to do as much as I can to not pay taxes. If I can get out of paying, if I can use the laws for my favor, then great. That's why you have a tax preparer that does anything she can to ensure that you're not paying taxes. Or as low as possible. I mean, I had my tax preparer one time look into it, and after like 2 hours, I ended up having to write a check to Vermont for like $1. You know? But that's why you have a tax preparer, so that they can help you pay as little as possible. That's why Hillary Clinton has all these shell companies and all this stuff, and she's taking money and she's dumping all this money into these companies that she's basically taking that money, and it's a fake charity to have a bank account so that she can, I'm donating all this money to my charity. I'm writing it off on my taxes so I don't have to pay taxes. Then all that money that I put in that charity, oh, it's my charity, so I'm going to take that money out, and I'm going to go spend it, go on vacations, buy Armani suits, do all that stuff. She's using the system. But you're not going to hear that on MSNBC or ABC or NBC. Why would they want to talk about that? You wouldn't hear that on CNN. I posted a video like a week ago or so, and it showed all these things that Trump, it was Obama, you know, Hillary's saying anything she can to get elected and doing this and this and this and all this stuff. And now you see him, oh, Hillary's the greatest and she's going to carry on the torch. Because they know she's going to carry on what Obama started. She's going to take what he's done and continue it 100%. She's not going to care about you or the troops or anything. She's going to line her pocketbook. She's going to go on vacation after vacation, do whatever the heck she wants while you suffer. But that's the Clinton way. I just hate people that are double standard. Trump is honest. Yeah, I use the tax laws to my favor. He's not denying what he's done. Hillary Clinton's not going to say that. She's going to talk about the greedy, evil Republicans when she's just as greedy and... Well, I can't wait to see if this happens, because Megyn Kelly's actually challenged Hillary Clinton to be on her talk show. Yeah, Megyn Kelly would tear her up. She won't be on that show. She won't, yeah, she wouldn't even... I'm going to see her get asked real questions. She ain't going to... Like Trump says, I'll release my tax returns when you release those 33,000 emails. You know, I want to see her ask real questions. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, Hillary, what did you think about the weather today? Well, you know, it's just wonderful that we had this beautiful weather, you know, because, you know, when I got off the plane, I was afraid there might be rain and I might slip and fall. I mean, that's the kind of crap she gets asked. No one's asking her about, okay, why did you delete these emails? Why are these people pleading the fifth? And she... It's just ridiculous. And every once in a while, one guy will get in there and he'll ask like a tough question or like Tim Kaine or something just to try to act like they're unbiased. And it's like, and sometimes I think like Tim Kaine or some of them act like, oh, what? They're actually like drilling me on a real question. You know, it's almost like they do it as like a, we got to make us look like we're not biased, but we are, you know? If you're not biased, if you're a news organization, how can you endorse anybody? How can a newspaper or a radio station or TV station that's politically based, that does political news, how can they endorse anybody? They can say, yes, we like Trump and what he has to say, but at the same time, we are unbiased. If he's going to do something wrong, we're going to call him out, just like we'll call out Hillary Clinton or Tim Kaine or anybody. You know, we're going to call it like we see it. You know, it's like that law that Governor Jerry Brown signed, the Planned Parenthood bill. It's like, really, if they're doing stuff that's not, it's like, okay, if it's alive and it's got a heartbeat, it's alive. If you hold a baby and its heart's beating, it's alive. But if it's in the stomach and its heart beating, well, it's not really alive yet because it's, you know, bull crap. I support human lives, period. You know, and if they're doing something illegal and you can prove it, there you go. Nope, we got to have all these bills that, because I know they've tried to do that where they tried to have bills that make it illegal for people to go into milk dispensaries and different things and showcase all the abuse of the animals. It's ridiculous. But that's where we are in this day and age. I don't understand this country that I live in anymore. You know? Well, sir, you have an American flag shirt. You're going to have to take that off because you might offend someone that's taking. See, we have people in this school that are going to be offended by your American flag shirt who are getting benefits and they're getting free lunch and free books and free health care. And we can't have that because then they might actually want to leave or maybe they want to attack us. See, we had a kid shot in school and that's because you had an American flag shirt on. I'd be like, well, okay, well, if you would have had your teachers armed, maybe they could have done something about it before. I'm going to see you go to any other country. And get away without, you know, you go to France. Are they going to take down a, well, someone might be offended by the French flag. You know what they'd say? I can't say it. I'm not going to say it because it's not a bad word. It's a bad word in French. But anywho, they'd be like, well, bleep you. This is France. This is Poland. This is our flag. Now, some of those countries, they'll okay. Yeah, we okay you to have your turban or whatever they wear. I don't know what all that stuff's called. But, you know, all that traditional garb, you know, so. Hey. Gotta wake up, America. Gotta wake up. Gotta wake up. Because that's what I'm waiting for next. Somebody gets shot in the school and they blame a kid for his pro-American shirt. Or he had an NRA shirt, so some kid came to the school and shot up. And they're blaming that kid for an NRA shirt. That's what I'm waiting for next. Because they can't call a spade, you know. If somebody puts a bomb in the mailbox and blows it up, oh, we need to have gun control. That's what Obama says. Got to have gun control because if we didn't, you know, because if guns weren't around, that kid wouldn't have put a bomb in that. Because we're not nice to Muslims. Since we're not nice to Muslims, that's why they bomb us and kill us and hate us. I don't get it. I don't. I just don't understand this world. You know, I guess I grew up in a different world where there was no political correctness. There was none of this BS. Well, he said Redskin, so I'm offended. I mean, there's so many words that I said now that, I mean, if I was the way I was in school now, I'd be probably suspended 10 times over. There was a history picture that we took where we had like feast clothing and stuff on, and the guy had a stick that was shaped like a gun holding it up like this. Now you'd be suspended. Someone actually commented on that. And nowadays with that photo, you'd be suspended. We would be suspended for some of the stuff we did back then. But hey, you know, there's a picture and it shows a bunch of bikes. There's no iPhone in sight, but that's how we rolled. And I mean, it was a different time. I want to get into this because this is late breaking news, but update for Indiana. A teen at the center of an Amber Alert has been found safe, according to police. An Amber Alert had been issued for the missing 17-year-old girl who authorities believe is in extreme danger. Police believe an escaped convict out of Hancock County, Dustin Fisher, 20, abducted the teen. Fisher is also considered a violent sex offender, and I guess they found this girl, Sheridan, okay, so everything is wonderful. That was going, so anyone in Indiana that was listening, I got like two Amber Alerts today, and that was one of them, and everything is great with that, so whenever I get an Amber Alert, I'm always like, you know, praying to God. I'm just one of those weird people. I wouldn't call it weird, but like whenever I can't find something, I was like, Lord, where is it? And within like 2 minutes. I find it. Yeah, shorter than that, but it's just one of those things that, you know, wow, it's just, there was also, and some other great news, just really quickly, an Amber Alert also that was called out today was issued for a two-month-old baby out of Hammond, Indiana, and the police believe that the baby and the mother were abducted by his non-custodial father, and that turned out to be, the baby is safe and everything is wonderful and great. So that was God working his magic like he always does. Because whenever I hear those Amber Alerts, the first thing I think of is like, and I love the fact that they go through the phones and everything that way. You know, they need to have like that for like breakout. If there's a breakout, there should be, okay, here's the photo, bang, here's your phone. Everyone gets the alert that, hey, this guy broke out of prison or whatever, you know, or whatever. Because, I mean, those Amber Alerts seem to usually, like, because everyone gets it, and everyone, and it's hard for it to end. You know, it's hard for it to end badly. It's just one of those things that, I think it's one of the greatest things that, that they've come up with, because it really does bring happy endings, you know. But I do want to bring this up just for, this is mainly for local people, but I mean, with the way it is now, anything can happen. Indianapolis police are in search of a convict that's armed and dangerous and an admitted child molester, Levon Beverly. Court documents say that he has sexually abused a three-year-old girl on more than 100 occasions, and he is actually on the run. He is a convicted child molester, a robber, and he is considered armed and dangerous, and he is on the run for the IMPD. So if you go to the Indianapolis Box 59 Indianapolis Facebook page, it is like the first article. Look at his photo if you're local. See if you recognize that guy. Just want to kind of get a little thing out there just for anyone that's listening, because someone like that needs to be behind bars. And anything I can, you know, I did a Jeep run with a bunch of people, and I was the only one that didn't have a Jeep or a truck. I had my Mustang. We rode with Blue on our vehicles for supporting the troops, and I still have my blue stripe on my vehicle, and the police mean the world to me. And you know, I have friends that are EMTs and paramedics and stuff, so anything you do to help those guys out and get the word out, you know. We had two great Amber Alerts that ended in good notes, and maybe we can get this guy and get him off the streets and have three good things. And I like to try to help out, and if there's anything local that's going on or anything anybody wants to talk about or whatever, feel free to hook me up and say, hey, you know, this event's coming up or whatever, and I have no problem getting it out there. And you know, and always Nellie's Second Chance Shelter, if you live in Lafayette, she's always needed donations. So just because the video stopped doesn't mean she can't use your help and whatever. And she really appreciates it too. She's got back to me a couple times saying, you know, the response in that video meant a million bucks to her, because people are just outpouring or just helping her out, and it means the world, you know. And that's why I do what I do. I try to use my airway for the good, you know. You know, if I was ever on like an actual radio station or whatever, you know, I would do the same thing, you know. I like when I started my support group, it was all about me. I need help. I need this. I'm trying to get answers, and turned out more that it's for the good, because I'm getting so many people that were like, okay, I deal with this. Who have, you know, and people help each other, and it's just a great thing. Something I never would have thought, but it's just, you know, it's just nice every once in a while to have some good. And when I saw those things about the Amber Alerts and how they ended up good, I just wanted to make sure I got that in there. And it's just good to see that those things turned out for the positive, you know, because this country has a lot of amazing people, and you know, and it's awesome. And I started this show just in case many, I'm sure I've talked about this, but I did the show on a Monday this week because tomorrow me and my wife are going to go see the Dark Star Orchestra. And if you don't know who they are, my wife kind of, she'll have a good time, I'm sure. She'll enjoy it, but she doesn't understand. Okay, the Dark Star Orchestra is a group that goes around and they play Grateful Dead shows. And they'll do, and by the end of the show, they'll say, okay, this show was played by the Grateful Dead on July 6th, 1984 at Richmond Coliseum. And then they'll do like a closer to make it their own show. And they're great. And it's just amazing. And I love going to see them. And my wife just kind of doesn't, not that she won't have a great time or anything, but she just doesn't understand why you would want to go see a band. But then a lot of these shows, I don't think I've seen a Dark Star Orchestra show. It'd be cool to see a show of a Dead show that I went to. So I can say, oh, I was at that show. And I would love to hear if they, because they don't really like, if there's a 2-hour delay, they don't have the delay or anything. They just play the show and what was over there. So, but it'd be kind of neat just to go to a show and just, wow, I was at that show. And I'm hearing the Dark Star Orchestra do it. And every once in a while, they'll get feedback from fans like, well, I'd love to hear something from the 70s or, you know, because I've seen them play a set from the 90s, the 70s, and the 80s. And I think tomorrow is going to be like an early 80s show, but we'll find out. It's always a good time because then you get to meet a lot of heads that way. And then from there, you can, were you at this show? Were you at Alpine Valley in 89? Were you here? Were you there? Were you at like the Knickerbocker Arena? That was, oh. And because there's a couple of times where I'm like, man, that's probably sitting right next to you. Or like we were in the same row one time. It was Other Ones concert, like Life After Jerry type show. And it was like, you know, like a Phil Ash and Rat Dog kind of thing getting together. And it was just like, man, I was right there. We were in the same section, like probably like 5 seats away from each other. And we met each other later. But it's going to be a good time. And so I decided most of my fans that listen don't really watch the NFL because they're sick and tired of people that make millions of dollars and then disrespect the country they live for by not standing up for the national anthem. So, you know, a lot of my friends, especially a lot of my military buddies, they're so sick of the NFL. They're like done with it. But you know, that's blood under the water, you know, under the bridge. But as we move on now, because I want to get into a little bit of the English Premier League, and hard to believe, Manchester United is in 6th place with 13 points. Man City, I thought Chelsea and United would be fighting for first. But it's still early in the season, and Man City is first with 18 points on the table, and then Tottenham is second with 17, and Arsenal is in surprisingly third with 16. And then Liverpool with 16, and then Everton with 14, and Manchester in sixth with 13. And I think they put Rooney back in because the one game that Jose Mourinho took out Wayne Rooney, and they did phenomenal. I thought, well, let's see if that happens again. And it really didn't. They had several chances. If it wasn't for Stoke City's goalie, it could have been like 4-1. But he was unstoppable. And in the process of that, you know, near the end, they put in Rooney in the second half, and you know we should have had 3 points out of that game, but we ended up leaving with a draw and only getting 1 point out of it. And it's just been frustrating because we have the players. I think they just need to learn to work together a little bit more or something. Because we spent the money, we've got the talent, and I do also think it's kind of early in the season. You know, February it'll be a good indication of where we are as a team, you know, because I thought Chelsea would be way better than they are. But the money they've spent and the money, man, I understand Man City, you know, they're first. And the money they've spent and the things they've done, you know. But when you have players, you know, on teams like Sergio Aguero and other players, and, you know, like Man United, okay, when you have Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and you pay for Bailey, and you pay for Pagoa, And you have Juan Mata. You have the best. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. I really think it's too early, but they should be doing, they're not bad, but they should be a lot better. Because I don't think Old Trafford is the whorehouse anymore. It's the fear house. It's not that place that everyone goes to and like, oh no. We got to play at Old Trafford. Oh Lord. You know, now it's like, okay. And you can go to Old Trafford and anyone can win. Any given Saturday or Sunday, you can win at Old Trafford. So, enough about the English Premier League. And I'm going to get into NASCAR a little bit. Now that IndyCar is gone, NASCAR is all we got left in motorsports pretty much. And hard to believe, but Chris Buescher, Jamie McMurray, Kyle Larson, and the great Tony Stewart will no longer be in the chase. Tony Stewart got eliminated out of the chase in his last year at Sprint Cup. And sorry, but Dale Sr., I think, was one of the best NASCAR drivers of all time. The second best NASCAR driver, I don't really care for him, but Jimmy Johnson is one of the best drivers. I think he's better than Tony Stewart. But, you know, to see Tony Stewart get eliminated from his last year in the chase and stuff, it's just, I was hoping to see him go farther and do more. But, you know, it's going to be weird to see him because Jeff Gordon's now gone and Tony Stewart's gone. A lot of the people that I grew up watching, you know, for the last, like, 20 years, because the people I grew up watching were, like, Harry Grant and, you know, Neil Bonnet, and hard to believe how long something like Dick Trickle and Jimmy Hensley in the Kodak car. Man, those are the days. You know, you had Ken Schrader and the Skull Bandit, and you had Stroker Ace and the Clyde Torkel Chicken Pit Special. Fastest chicken in the South. But yeah, it's just hard to see all these drivers going. And well, there's evidence that Dale Jr. will probably come back to NASCAR next year. And some people say it's the wrong decision because he really needs to put his health above everything else. And he's probably going to agree to come back and do all that stuff and race. And with his health being like it is, I mean, if his doctor's giving the all clear, that's great. But, you know, he needs to really heavily weigh his health. And I think he will come back. And some people think it's going to be the wrong decision because I don't want to see a vegetable. I don't want to see him like getting another accident or something happen. And he's like, hi, there is NASCAR, and be not a functioning member. I'd rather have him as a commentator do something. Got about 60 seconds left in the program, folks. And, you know, I just really want to see Dale Jr. Do something. And I don't want him to be like a Neil Bonnet and have something go wrong and bang, you know. I wanted to end racing on my own, not when someone tells me, you know. And I think Dale Jr. Will make the decision for himself. That's why I love him. He's always been like, hey, that was my dad. I'm not my dad. Don't compare me to him. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. I am who I am, and I think he's someone that's going to make the decision what's best for his health. So I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the conversation that I hope you're a part of and that you feel a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next time, good night and God bless. Goodbye.